KRVN. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Chad Moyer, and today we are being joined by Kyle Bumstead, and joins us here today to talk a little bit about the markets. First of all, Kyle, if you don't mind, I'll take a look and kind of see where we settled out here. The corn was 2 to 3 higher. Soybeans were mixed. The old crop was just a little bit lower. The new crop actually settled above unchanged, up 0.75 cents. And then wheat had been higher all day. Kansas City up 7 to 9. Just overall, on the grain side, first of all, give us your insights. What was kind of at play today? What were the major things affecting the grain trade, Kyle?
That's a good question there. As far as the corn and the wheat go, look to me like some non-commercial short covering. Of course, it is Tuesday here. The funds are going to be position squaring here. They did position square here for the commitments traders report, which is due out Friday after the close. So I think there was some of that going, maybe a little bit of light commercial buying out there. Can't quite put a finger on that, though, because some of the volume out there and those deferred issues was a little bit light. So the question is, you know, how much to really read into it. But corn is up against some technical resistance here, up against those 50-day moving averages and these respective contracts, and just can't seem to break through it. So if a person needs to get caught up on some sales, this is, looks like a pretty decent area to get something done here. And then on a pullback, if they want some re-ownership, then you know, can look at it then. Soybeans there, looks like we had some commercial sell pressure here throughout the day. That May lost to a July, and July lost to August, although I don't like August contracts there because there's really no point to the August bean contract, but it's there. But definitely, like you said, we lost ground here in the old crop and gained a little bit of ground here in the new crop. And I think there's some out there in the trade, you know, as far as speculators, whatnot, going to really be reading into this report next week about this planted acreage report or this acreage intention report. We've seen this spread here from Novi 24 beans, D's 24 corn sitting at 2.5 since last September. So if they're really looking to buy bean acres, they're really not. It's still, you know, or buy corn acres, they're really not. It's still favoring beans right now, as it shows right there, 2.5. That's kind of the teetering number there, 2.4. Then that's going to favor some corn, but 2.5 kind of favors beans. It's sitting right on the line there. Really not much to read into that. Wheat market, still kind of, you know, rebounding off that reversal they had, you know, on the daily chart there about a week or so ago. Really can't say there's much going on here with wheat other than the fact that there is some short covering going on here. Maybe a little bit of commercial buying. Tough to say yet. There is, I am starting to really watch that weather there in the southern plains as far as freeze and frost. I know we freeze this crop off at least once, maybe twice, sometimes three times in a year before it gets harvested. So we're dealing with that right now. It's your classic weather derivative. Chicago wheat, they basically had that giant short out there. They've been slowly paring down here, and I think that's what we saw here again today. Minneapolis wheat, we do have that storm that's going to be encroaching here on the northern plains here, so I don't know if that's going to set them back as far as planting or not. It's the 20th of March. We'll see if that does, but that's kind of the grains in a nutshell, and I think there's some investors out there that are, you know, looking for some macro moves here, how it's going to affect our grains and livestock here tomorrow when the Fed makes an announcement here, gives us any sort of indication what they may do with rates here in the foreseeable future, Chad.
Yeah, and that was going to be a question I was going to ask you, too, is what are the outside influences? Because you mentioned the Fed as they are meeting this week, so they're going to try and, you know, try and devise what are they going to do with interest rates for the rest of the year. But the Fed, what else is having an influence on the grain outside of the grain trade itself?
Yeah, well, we've got South American harvest. We've got South American weather. That's still in the play here. We've got North American weather here in a couple of weeks after we get through this, you know, everybody in the trade watching this potential planting or this planting intentions report, which really means nothing. They're going to switch back here to watching USA weather here and kind of see how we get started. Now, I know it's warm. I know it's been warmer than normal. It's been a lot drier than normal. A lot of people are comparing this to 2012. But for right now, what a warm, dry spring means is more corn acres or more acres in general are going to get planted. So I think there's something there as far as weather-wise that we're going to start to watch here a little bit closer once we get these USDA things out of the way.
Okay. Is there anything to be watching on the energy side? You know, crude oil nearby April was trading in the mid-83 range through most of the day today. And, you know, it's obviously not a long-term high, even a short-term high, but it is creeping up into the middle part of the 80s, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very good question there too. April crude actually, I think, goes off here today here at the close, so not much we can read into it. But that market there, as you point out, Crude oil is one to watch here. We did get above that that $80 mark, and that is an inverted market, meaning the front end is worth more than the deferred contract. So that means there's some commercial demand up front here. And when there's commercial demand, then there's really some underlying support here on setbacks. So that is something here we could probably be looking at too as well. If you've got your fuel needs locked in, that's great. Probably a good thing to have that done already. But if not, on these setbacks, and a person may be wanting to get some more coverage here as far as fuel goes, because we are getting in that time frame where demand does start to tick up. And we're still hearing about Russia issues over there, and we've got the Middle East issues and things like that as far as what could affect oil as far as headlines go. But for right now, what the market's telling me is it's a bull market in the crude oil because we are inverted. We're trading at 82.77 on that May contract now as I speak, and June's trading at 82.12. So we've got a nice inversion going on there. That means there's going to be some underlying support here on the pullbacks.
Okay. Can we come back to soybeans just for a moment? Maybe we can talk about the complex overall as we round out the first half here. You know, nearby beans down, deferreds higher. We had oil lower, meal higher. Again, soybean complex just kind of mixed up today, huh, Kyle?
Yeah, it is. It's been very mixed. And it looks like to me there's a little bit of crush, some unwinding or some winding up of some crushes going on here potentially. When you reference that bean oil, we did make a new high for the year yesterday at that 50.29 on that July contract. The high that we had here on the on the 12th of January was $50. So that speaks to me like there is a little bit of demand usage here as far as bean oil. And, you know, bean oil is kind of a derivative of palm oil, or they use it in place of palm oil as far as food grade. So there is that potential. There's a little bit of demand out there in the bean oil. The crush has been fairly decent here for us stateside. Our exports haven't been, but that's kind of showing up there as far as the meal demand here as far as you know, bean meal and bean oil as far as looking at that crush.
Market analyst Kyle Bumstead joining us here on the Channel Final Bell. Stay tuned. The second half of the program is coming up next here on the Rural Radio Network.
A best of both worlds product portfolio is one of the aspects to look forward to from the new Channel brand in 2025. Here's Matt McGuire, new Channel dealer from Wisner, Nebraska.
With bringing in Fontenelle and Channel together, I think that our portfolios will also be second to none, especially on the corn side. It'll fill holes for both companies that customers may have seen there before, and I think it's just going to make us really rock solid on the corn side.
For more, contact your local Channel Seed Pro in Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado.
KRVN.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Chad Moyer, joined once again by Kyle Bumstead, Allendale, joining us for our market comments today. And we spent the first half talking about grains. Let's go over and take a look at this livestock side. And I do think, Kyle, it was interesting watching the markets throughout the day because there were times where it almost looked like we were going to trade positive in cattle. What kept the lid on the cattle market today?
Well, we're up at the top end of the range, and basically here, you know, you've got to take out that 190.27 area, which was the old gap fill here on this April contract. And I know June is the lead contract right now with the volume of open interest, but folks are still watching that April right now because April's tied to cash. And that's given a good indication here of what cash has been doing lately. The board's been rallying and cash has slowly been following. And then the next week you see the board set back a little bit. Then they start to, you know, kind of put out a steady bid. And then all of a sudden the board comes back and cash starts to rally again too. So I am a little bit nervous here. It is that time of year where we do see a setback, deep setback coming here in these summer month contracts. And usually it's about the Easter time frame where we start to see those setbacks start to take place. You know, usually a week before or after Easter. Easter typically sets in somewhat of a cash high here as far as the cattle market goes. So I'm definitely watching that. There was a lot of commercial spreading going on here today. I did notice April lost ground to June. June lost ground to August. August lost to the October, and October lost to December. So it looked to me like there was some commercial hedge pressure going on there through the spreads. Now, this could also have been tied to a little bit of volume skew. We did see a little bit lighter volume out there in those deferred issues. But I will say it. I've been coined saying it before, and I'll say it again. When you pick the snake up by the tail, you're going to get bit. And they're putting all the premium out there in those deferreds, picking those deferreds up. And it could come back to bite us here on this front end. So what I mean by that is it's encouraging the hedgers out there to roll their hedges out, collect the premium in the market, and then also put more days on feed. And not only putting more days on feed, with this corn complex doing what it's doing, just treading water, we've seen these weights balloon. Yes, we did have the storms, and I realize that, and we've, you know, all the slaughter numbers and things like that. But we are still putting tonnage on the market. Our tonnage is somewhere between 2.3% over last year as far as tonnage goes. So we may have a lack of numbers. I get it. Less numbers, yes, but we're making up for it in tonnage, or we can be making up for it in tonnage. And when you start to put that premium out there like we've been doing and you keep that premium out there, it just entices the cattle feeder to feed a little longer and feed into the premium. And I think that that is something here that could take place. Now, Friday afternoon, there is a cattle on feed report, and I know everybody's really looking at it here. Really don't really see what the big deal is about it. I mean, it's just an estimate, but the estimate here for on feed is 100.8%. The placements, they've got it estimated at 106.3, and the marketing's at 103.9. So there's going to be some sort of knee-jerk reaction on Monday morning, and there's going to be a lot of hullabaloo about it over the weekend about, being bullish or bearish or what it is. But the funds do have a decent-sized, lengthy position out there in that live cattle contract, and they've got some air. If they wanted to let some air out of this balloon, they could easily do that. So that's something here that I'm kind of watching here, too, is where that fund length is going to be here once we get to Friday. And I think we saw a little bit of, non-commercial selling here as we finished up their week here on a Tuesday, so we can get that report out on Friday.
What about the hogs? Similar, but I mean, it was down much more drastic in the nearbys in those summer months, but and the deferreds were up just slightly. What's going on in the hogs?
Well, I think the hog market is just a little bit overvalued up in this area here as far as the front months here. You've got June trading at 101 and a quarter and April at 85 and a quarter. So there's a lot of premium out there when you've got an index sitting at 82 and a half. There's a lot of premium to that April contract. There's even more premium out there to that June contract. And I know there's going to be talk about the May contract. Never really talk about May contract because it doesn't mean much of anything. But you got 24 days left here on the April contract, and June's got 87 days for that to come down to the index. So you're either going to have to see a really big rally in cash hogs, or you're going to see a lot of this premium get pulled out. Now, you've got July trading at 103.95. We did trade at 105 in August hogs here today, July hogs, and August hogs traded at 104.22. So there's still a lot of premium out there in those deferred issues. Now, way out there, that remains to be the question. But I do know there are some disease issues out there and some issues going around through some of these barns out there. So that may be something here we need to keep an eye on here as far as those far deferred contracts.
All right. Very good, Kyle. Just as we wrap up today's program, all-encompassing, looking forward to the rest of the week, what do you think are going to be the things that could impact grains and livestock, both sides?
Well, number one, I think the Fed meeting here, when that comes out tomorrow afternoon, and then I think once we get towards the end of the week, there's going to be a lot more position here for cattle on feed. And once we get into Friday, there's going to be more chatter about this all-up-and-coming USDA report here next week here before we take Easter break next week. Now, this week here is a full week of trade. Next week is a shortened week, so we got to keep that in mind, too. Markets can trade kind of weird on three-day weeks.
All right. We'll definitely keep...
Excuse me, four-day weeks.
On four-day weeks, that's for sure. Kyle, we'll keep that in mind. As always, thank you so much for your thoughts and your information. Again, that's Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. You can call him at 308-708-7340. And do remember, trading of commodity futures does involve a substantial risk of loss and may not be suitable for all investors. That is today's Channel Final Bell. It's brought to you by Channel and your local dealer. Here on the Rural Radio Network, Chad Moyer reporting.